Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Jesus test. Have you ever been in a situation where you wanted someone else's job only to get that person's job and hate that you got that person's job? Is there anybody in the room who's ever been in a scenario where you wanted your supervisor's position only to get your supervisor's position, only for you to hate the day you ever wanted your supervisor's position? Anybody here ever wanted to be the boss only to become the boss and hate the day you ever wanted to be the boss? It happens all the time. There's some people on a job right now. Every day their supervisor tells them to do something, they're sitting there saying, I can do this better than you, and you don't know nothing. I was going to have you raise your hand, but I'm not going to have you raise your hand. Just wink at me if right now there's somebody you are under, whether it be on a job, in a ministry, and when you look at them, you think, I can do that way better than them. Just nod your head, wink at me. Say, it's me. I see somebody like, me, Pastor. Why? We've all been in a place where we're thinking, that person is done. That person don't know nothing. We can do this way better than them. Only because what is it? We're watching and we're seeing they get paid more than me. They have a bigger office than me. Wait, they have a better parking space than me? Are you crazy? Only for us to go ahead. We went to the CEO, whispered, I can do this much better than them. Only for them to release the other person, give you the job. And what you came to realize is that job, yes, came with more money. Yep, came with a bigger parking space. Yep, came with a huge office, but it also came with a huge headache. Long hours, massive stress, hiring people who lied on their resume, firing people who don't want to leave, training people who don't know how to work, and all of a sudden you got a headache, you're growing bald, you're getting wrinkled, you start smoking. Why? Because you done took a position that you don't know why you took this position, and you don't know what happened. I see it all the time. I see people say, man, I wish I was a preacher. I could preach like that, only to become a preacher and hate the day that you ever preach. Oh, I know that I wish I could be LeBron James. I wish I could be an athlete, only to become an athlete and find out you can't eat donuts no more. And they don't eat fried chicken. And they wake up at 3 a.m. just to run. And you're sitting there saying, forget that. I don't want to be no athlete. What am I thinking? What happened? How is it possible that at one point you wanted something only to get the thing that you thought you wanted and then to regret that you ever wanted it? I'll tell you how it happens. Is your desires have fooled you, and you made a false statement. The real statement is, I want the good that comes with that. I don't want any of the bad that comes with that. I want the stuff I like that comes with that, but I don't want any of the stuff I don't like that comes with that. Whenever you see something, I know some of these singles in this room, Johnny, who say, if I could just be married, oh my LMG, I wish I had a man, I wish I had somebody, I wish I could spend only to get somebody and be like, what was I thinking? I could do bad all by myself. Just, what happened? You want the good of the marriage. You want the good of the relationship. You want the holding hands thing. You want the Hallmark kiss thing. You don't want bad breath. You don't want the stress that comes with trying to understand somebody who don't communicate. You don't want all that. You just want the good. We'd be better off if we just said we just want the good. In the same way, we do the same thing when it comes to Jesus. Everybody say, I want to be like Jesus. Everybody, I see it all the time. I just want to be like Jesus. I know people I look at, I'd be like, hey, man, how you doing? Being like Jesus. How's your day going? Just being like Jesus. It's like, all right, I hear you. I feel you. I just want to be like Jesus. Everybody wants to be like Jesus until it's time to be like Jesus. Everybody in the room said, you got it on your car. I just want to be like Jesus. You know when you hate being like Jesus? When it's time to be like Jesus. Everybody wants to be like the Lord until it's time. Because when you say you want to be like Jesus, what you mean is, I want to walk on water.
I want to raise the dead. I want to heal sick. I want bread and fish. What you're not saying is that you want to deal with a cross. You say, oh, I don't want to deal with no valleys. Oh, the Son of Man has no way to lay his head. Oh, I don't want all that. Oh, he gets persecuted. I don't want that. What we're saying is sign me up for the mountaintop. Well, you can't have a mountain without valleys. No, I just want the resurrection side. You know how you get a resurrection? Death. No, I don't want that death thing. I just want to rise up. Yeah. You're going to rise up. But before we can rise you up, we got to tear you down first. Everybody said they want to be like Jesus, but you really don't want to be like Jesus. You want to be like the good part. You like that good stuff. You like that nice, sweet, cuddly part of Jesus. But there's a whole part of Jesus that people seem and tend to avoid. It's amazing to me because the reality of it is that is the goal. This is what happens, what we see in John 13. In John 13, Jesus gets down and starts washing feet. King Jesus, Messiah Jesus, the God, the Jesus who said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. When everything was created, it was created by me, for me, it was me. That Jesus gets on the ground, starts washing feet. King Jesus, Lord Jesus, Savior Jesus, God Jesus gets on the ground and starts washing feet. But when he gets up, he says, now, y'all see me just wash your feet? They was like, yeah, boss, that was incredible. All right, you got to do the same thing. Don't think that I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. He's saying, I'm going to be the example to show you this is how you do me. This is how you be like Jesus. This is how you become me. Can you get down and start washing feet? Jesus says, if you're going to be like me, you're going to have to do some of the stuff I do. You can't just want the miracles. You can't just want all the fish to sink a boat. You can't just want to say, rise, and everything gets up. Nope, there's a whole lot that comes with Jesus that you got to realize. I love it how people say, I just want to know the Jesus who feed the 5,000. Have you ever considered how hard it is to feed 5,000 people? You ever been around five hungry people who don't know where their food's coming from? Jesus don't have just 5,000 mouths to feed. He got 5,000 problems he got to deal with. See, you want the bread and the miracle, but I'll tell you how chaotic it was. Jesus told his disciples, only feed those who are seated. In other words, we're not going to just deal with a bunch of chaos because there are people running around. You make them sit down first, then we feed them. Why? Because I didn't just inherit 5,000 miles. I inherited 5,000 emotions and 5,000 opinions and 5,000 stuff. And if you're going to be me, you can't just want to do the miracle of breaking of the bread. You also got to do the miracle of dealing with these problems. You also got to do the miracle of dealing with these issues. If you really want to be like Jesus, you cannot treat Jesus like a buffet. You cannot try to be like Jesus only when it's convenient for you. You cannot just pick out the parts at the buffet. Everybody likes a buffet. Why? Because everybody gets what they want. At a buffet, you get to say, yeah, I like that one, but I don't like that. At a buffet, you get to go down the line and say, no, not that. You get to pick the pieces you want. We do the same thing with the Bible. We pick the verses we like. We pick the parts of Jesus' life that we like. And the stuff we don't like, we ignore. We put it to the side and pretend like it wasn't written. And so we hashtag our favorite verses. But the reality of it is everyone's goal in this room, God wants for you to be like Jesus. Not be like your favorite preacher. Not be like the celebrity artist that you see who's no, God says the goal is for you to be like Jesus. When Jesus gets down on the ground and starts washing feet, he is showing you a little bit about who he is. He is showing you that he is a God that can leave heaven, come down to earth, and wash the filth off of people's lives. One of the things you need to rejoice about is the fact that you serve a God that loves you so much, he knows how to get down and wash some feet. He knows how to take the mess of your life and start to scrub that dirt off your life. Is there anybody here in this room that can take a 10-second praise break because you're just thinking about the fact that you were so filthy and dirty, and just like Jesus washed your disciples' feet, he came down from heaven, he left and came to earth, and he started washing your sins and washing your life and washing your mess. Why? Because he's a God that comes down, not just goes up. So what I decided to do, I decided to do something called the Jesus test. I got 5 questions every believer needs to ask in order to find out how much are you really like Jesus. I got 5, somebody said, I already know the answer to this question. I got 5 questions that you need to write down, because please listen to me, that's the goal here. The goal is not just to make you a great church shouter. The goal is not just to make you a good old person. The goal is for God to see you and thank Jesus. The goal is for people to see you and thank Jesus. This is the struggle that Peter has, because after Jesus dies, Peter's trying to hide. Some people see him and say, hey, weren't you with Jesus? He said, nah, not me, man. They said, no, you were with Jesus. He said, nah, not me. They say, listen to the way he talked. He sound like Jesus. He had to start cussing just to get them off the scent. Bleep, 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 bleep. They said, man, maybe he's not like Jesus. Bleep, bleep. Why? Because he had been around Jesus so long that even people around him, even people said, you look like that man. It got to get to a place where your mother say, I don't know a lot about you, but what I do know is you have something on you that reminds me of everything I've ever heard about Jesus. The goal is not for you to just look like your father or look like your mother. It's to make you look like Jesus. That is what's supposed to unite us. It's we're all supposed to be different races, come from different places, but what unites us is we're in this pursuit to be like him. And in becoming like him, we have this commonality between us. So I got 5 questions to ask you. And really, it's a sermon, but it's really you're doing your own test. This is your own personal evaluation to find out where you are. You're going to grade yourself. You're going to ask yourself these questions and have an honest conversation with you. Are you ready? Man, that was terrible. Are you ready? Marcus, I can't hear you over there. Are you ready? Okay, we got you, Number 1, can you take nails in your hand, thorns in your head, and still not say a word? Everybody's like, man, why you gotta? Jesus takes nails in his hand, thorns in his head, and still refuses to clap back. Can you not say a word, or do you have such a clap back anointing on the inside of you that anybody who says anything to you that even sounds like an insult, you are prepared and ready? Nail on me, nail on you. Thorn in my head, pew, 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 pew. Thorns in yours, take them now. Or do you have the ability to take the insults, take the hate, take the criticism, and still don't clap back? Don't get on Facebook. Don't repost nothing. Don't send subliminal messages. Because that's your Jesus. Oh, you want to be me? Jesus said, you want to be me? Nails in the hand. Which means sometimes they'll criticize the things you do. Nails in your feet, which means sometimes they'll criticize the way you walk. Thorns in your head, which means even some of the thoughts that are in your mind that you articulate, sometimes they will even attack that. Can you take it and be quiet? Or do you always got to cuss back? Do you always got to slap back? Can you take the nails? You really want to be like Jesus? Take the nail, but they're talking about me. Take the nails, but they don't like me. Take the nails, but they said this by my mother. Take the nails, just take it. Why? Because God will get revenge for you. What if you left revenge up to God? What if you let God actually fight a battle for you? What if, see, somebody said they're ashamed, but pastor, so you said I should just let anybody do anything? Nope. I do think there are some times where the Holy Spirit will release you to respond to something that needs to be responded to. But what I'm talking about is your ability to hear God say, no, that's my fight. Step back. That's me. Don't say nothing. Don't move. Don't move. Don't. That's my fight. Can you handle God fighting battles for you? Because you do know if God fight a battle, it's over. When you fight a battle, it continues. It don't stop. It goes forever. Some of you, you were in a fight in fifth grade, and to this day, you in that fifth grade fight just keep on going. You wish death on them. They wish stuff on you. You hope they go down. When you see them at the reunion and they're fat, you say, look how big they got. See, I knew they was going to get back. It just won't stop. But when God fights a battle, there's a story of a man, a preacher, who would go into the neighborhoods. He would go into gang neighborhoods. And when the preacher would go into gang neighborhoods, he'd always, you know, get into the gang member's face. He'd go into the gang member's face, to the neighborhood, and he'd be like, what? No Jesus. No Jesus. You don't like it? Shoot me. He'd get in the gang member's face, say, shoot me. If you don't like it, shoot me. Spitting in the gang member's face. None of the gang members would do anything. And so the preacher would go back home to his wife every day and say, girl, you got to see what I'm doing out there. You got to see it. I mean, I'm just out there and I'm preaching this gospel and the gang members don't even look at me. They won't even touch me. They can't even come near me. Every day he goes out there and he goes right into the hood, goes into the worst part. He said, you don't like it? Shoot me. Takes the gun. He puts it on his chest. Take me out. No Jesus. Or take me out. They never do a thing. Preacher man goes home every day, tells his wife, girl, you got to see what's happening on my life. What the preacher man don't know is that the chief of police had heard that the preacher man was going into these neighborhoods and that he was getting in these gang members' faces. And whenever he would hear of the preacher man going to the neighborhood, he'd go there first. And he'd tell all the gang members, look, preacher man's on his way. Anybody touch preacher man, you got to deal with me. You're getting locked up. Don't touch the man. He leave. Now the preacher man thinks that it's his ability and his power and his charisma that got all these gang members stopping and not touching him. What he doesn't know is a higher authority came in before he got there and made everybody back up. See, you keep trying to get in everybody's face, but God says, when I fight your battles, I'll go into the office before you get there, and I'll talk to some of those people who keep messing with you, and by the time I'm done, when you get there, their mouths will be shut. Why? Because when I fight a battle, that battle's won. Stop fighting. Take the nails. Take the thorns. It's okay. You're good. It's all right. You'll survive. Push your neighbor. Say, you'll survive. Tell me, you'll survive. Come on, tell me. Give me your phone right now. Just give me your phone. Let me just break it. Number two. Can you work alongside your Judas? You do know Judas is Jesus' betrayer. And Jesus has to work with this man for his entire ministry. Which means he had to feed Judas. Remember I told you he was washing feet? You know whose feet was in there? Judas. They had the Last Supper. Jesus had to serve the man Last Supper before I die. Judas was so close to Jesus, Jesus let him kiss him to identify who he was. Can you work alongside your Judas to get God's assignment done? Or can you only be with your friends? Can you only be with people who like you? Can you only be with people who support you? Well, I only want to be around people who like me and support me and can lift me up. Nope, sometime God will plant a Judas in your midst to accomplish something he's trying to get done in the earth. Can you do ministry knowing that the people you're doing ministry with are talking about you before you got there? Push your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now. You definitely need to take this. Can you do work knowing she don't even like me? But it's fine. It's fine. Because this is the Jesus test. Can you handle it? Jesus does not just work with the people who like him. Jesus works with his Judas. He lets his Judas kiss him. He's so cold, he gave Judas the money, knowing Judas was stealing from him. But he's like, I got an assignment on my life. I can't come down and start messing around with Judas. Judas is going to do what Judas is going to do, but I got something I got to accomplish, and what God's purpose is on my life can't be stopped because of an emotional argument or feeling with somebody who's below me. I'm not even going to see you in 3 years. I'm not even going to see you in 5 years. When I resurrect, you're going to be somewhere hanging from a tree. I'm going to be in heaven somewhere, so I'm not about to waste 3 years of my life just being down because you don't like me. He tells Judas, do what you have to do. Get it done. Because you're going to do what you're going to do, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But what God's doing on my life can't be stopped. Listen to me. Your Judas can't stop you. Your Judas may annoy you, but they can't stop you. Your Judas might irritate you. You do need him. You need your Judas. Your Judas was pushing you. Every time you see Judas stealing, it reminds you, stay for, this is why I do what I do. You need it. I told you a story before about the donkey, the farmer couldn't stand the mule. Hated the mule, felt like the mule was nothing. And so he said, I'm taking care of this mule, done with this mule. So he digs a hole. And when he digs a hole, he takes the mule and throws the mule in the hole. Now the mule is just saying, I don't know what this dude's doing. I don't know what's going on. He just threw the mule inside of a well, threw him inside of this pit. And then he started taking the dirt and pouring it. And he's saying, I'm getting ready to bury this thing. I'm getting ready to be done. Now the mule is down there and he's sitting here saying, what is this farmer doing? He just feels the dirt just hitting his back. And he's just like, what's going on? Dirt is just hitting his back. And he's like, what's happening? Dirt is hitting his back. And then it dawns on him, I think he's trying to kill me. And then the dirt is hitting his back. So he shakes the dirt off and he hops right over it. Dirt hits his back. He shakes it off, hops right over it. Before you know it, the thing that was trying to kill the donkey was actually the thing that was taking him higher. Every time the dirt that was intended to kill him hit his back, he shook it off. All it did was elevate him. Can I tell you that the betrayers in your life, all the dirt that they're throwing on you, if you just hold your peace, let the Lord fight your battles, focus on the job God has for you, and shake that thing off, the dirt that they threw on your back, the dirt that they threw on your name, all you're going to do is step over it. Shake it off, step over. Shake it off, step over. And before you know it, God's going to elevate you. God's going to exalt you. God's going to promote you. Why? Because you passed the Jesus test. But your neighbor say, you really want to be like him? This next question, it's a long question. I'll find a way to shorten it for next time. Given the opportunity to throw a stone at someone caught in a fault, can you cover them
rather than condemn them. People are like, good God, can we talk about something else tonight?
We see this in John 8. They bring a woman who committed adultery, caught her in the act. Jesus says, let he who has no sin, because according to the law, they have every legal right to stone her. Jesus said, let he who has no sin cast the first stone. What happens? They all drop their stones. Who's the only one there with no sin? Jesus. Does he throw a stone? Wouldn't this be a perfect time for all my holiness preachers? You know I have an issue with some of these guys sometimes. Wouldn't this be the perfect time for Jesus to say, yep, I'm glad this happened. Yeah, give me a stone. Let me show you how much I hate a sinner. Let me show you how much I just, and just rock her with a stone and beat his chest and say, I dare y'all to sin. I dare y'all to mess up. That's not what he does. This has been a perfect moment for him to make an example out of her, but he doesn't. Jesus can throw a stone, and he doesn't. You can't, but you do. Because we all love some gossip, boy. Can I be honest? I love a piece of gossip. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm just going to get free. Y'all can all fake, but if it's real juicy, I mean, if it's real, I mean, who did what? Ooh. You almost want to eat. You almost want to go out to a restaurant. You just so, ooh, you can't even contain yourself. You're like, ooh, get a piece of cake, get some pie, ice creams. Let's sit down on the couch, lay down. Who? When? With who? Where? Who? You start thinking about all the people you're going to tell. Like, all right, I'm going to tell my wife first, and then I'm going to call. Then I'm going to call Johnny after that. Wait till Johnny hears. Oh, you'd be like, oh. You salivate. You're like, I can't wait to tell. Oh, who? When? No way. And don't let that be some proof. This ain't even a rumor. This is not even a rumor. You got proof? Evidence? Pictures? And a video. Oh, my. And a video. I can't take it. Oh, there's a video to this. Oh, God. I mean, your mouth is watering like. Oh, God. I'm sorry. That's just be me. I'll just like, tell me now. Some of y'all best friends started because of some gossip, joined y'all together. You shared something. It was just like, now y'all friends. Gossip can bring enemies together. Gossip can make two people who hate each other be like, did you hear about? No, let's go out to Starbucks. Let's go eat. Let's go do something together. Tell me more. Here's the deal. I'm not even going to get mad at you because you like it, because I like it. Somebody going to come to me tonight, well, I got some stuff to tell you, Pastor. The question is, when you get the stone, you have it in your hand, you got to think twice. Do I take this and go ahead and just knock them out, condemn them? Or can I put down my stone and cover that person who is found in that fault? Where would the church be if we would just put down our stones and start covering people? A lot of times the world laughs at the church because of stones we threw at our own people. The world knows stuff about us they shouldn't know. They know stuff about us because we the ones who told. Because we were so happy to throw our stones. And I don't know if you've ever really thrown a stone,
But if you've ever thrown a stone, it does not give you the satisfaction that you thought it'd give you. And it can never give you the satisfaction of covering that person. What would the body of Christ look like if we gave people just a little bit of time to get back on their feet? Yes, you got the video, you got the tape, you got it. But what if you gave me just a little bit of time to get some pastoring, get discipled for a second, get some healing for some broken areas of my life? Just give me some time to get in before the presence of God. I wasn't in my word like I was supposed to. I wasn't praying like I was supposed to. I got caught up with some stuff. Some things happened in my life. And so, yep, I got caught in a moment. But where would we be if we were the place that people could run to where they could get covered and not exposed? Man, if we could do that, the world would marvel at us. But they laugh at us because we throw too many stones. Number four, can you be hidden for a season until God says it's time for you to be revealed? When you read the story of Jesus, we see baby Jesus, then we see 12-year-old Jesus, and then we don't see Jesus no more. We don't hear nothing about Jesus. 18 years. We don't hear nothing about Jesus till about 30. Years, he is hidden because he's not ready yet to be revealed by the Father. Can you wait for a season to be hidden? Or do you have to be called to the nations right now? Do you got to go to the nations, right? Yeah, I got to go to the nations, right? I'm leaving the church, Pastor, why? Because I'm a nation. I got the nations inside. All right, I hear you. Okay, you got nations. You call to the nations, but can you first be called to your seat? How are you going to do nations ministry? You haven't done seat ministry yet. Well, nah, there's something bigger in me. So Jesus said, can a servant be greater than his master? So I'm God, but I can be hidden for a season, but you go into the nations. I spent 18 years in preparation for my ministry. How many years have you spent in preparation for yours? Jesus has the ability to do miracles. He's anointed. He's blessed. He's a healer. Yet we don't hear him doing nothing. Nothing. Can you be hidden for a season? Can God keep you quiet long enough to get you ready for what he's about to bring into your life? Or are you going to ruin it by talking too early and letting people know you're not that smart? Some people have wrecked their own ministries because they spoke too early, thought they could talk on a topic they didn't have the weight enough to speak on. And they spoke on it, did so much damage, they ruined so many relationships that now it's going to take them even longer to get revealed. Can you handle the fact that I got a microphone and, yep, I put out videos and, yep, I get a bunch of views and maybe this is not your video time. Maybe it's my video season. Maybe it's not your video season. Can you be okay with that? Or is watching other people shine annoying you so much that you're going to come out prematurely? What if Jesus was like, forget all, I'm sick and tired of being held back. Let me loose. No. No. We don't see Jesus until he gets to the baptism and John baptizes him. And when John baptizes him, the heavens open, and the Father says, this is my Son, and him I am well pleased. Follow ye him, hear ye him. Can I tell you something? Maybe God has you hidden, but the day he's ready to reveal you, he will open up the heavens, he will rend down his voice, he will let the world know, that's my Son, that's my daughter, I'm pleased with them. And when God exposes you, when God reveals you, when God exalts
exalts you. Can't nobody take you down. Can't nobody close the door on you. Can't nobody stop you from talking. God will put so much favor on your life. Every time you speak, people will come from the north, the east, the west, the south. Why? Because this time I didn't put myself here. God put me here. Please listen to me. You are not being ignored. You're being hidden. So many of us say, I'm just being ignored. What if God is like, no, I'm hiding you from wolves who will chew you up if I expose you right now? What if God is sneaking you into rooms? Because if they really knew who you were and what you was about to do, they wouldn't even let you in. What if God got you serving your way into rooms, serving your way to tables, serving your way into contracts, only for the time for him to reveal who you are? You've gotten so deep into the room. You've gotten too much access to the place. You've gotten too much joy. You've gotten too much position that now you can do the things that God wants you to do and you can't be stopped. By the time they figure out who Jesus was, it was too late. He was too big. They should have killed him when he was a baby. That was their only shot. But the fact that he was hidden, they couldn't kill him in a season where he couldn't do nothing about it. But by the time he got 30, he was too big. And so at that time, when Satan stepped to him one-on-one, he said, get behind me, Satan. And Satan had to back up. Why? Because I'm too grown. I'm too big now. I can't be stopped. What if God is saying, I'm hiding you. I got you hidden. Tucked away. Be quiet. Stop telling everybody your resume. What if I don't want them to know how much you know? What if I don't want them to know how much you can do? Just wait. Wait. Because when the moment opens up, then that thing, you're going to burst through that door. When that thing opens up, you're coming all the way through. When that thing opens up, God says, now shine, now talk, now sing, now do something. And the hard work you were putting in before, you don't have to put in now because God is pushing you through. Tell somebody, wait. Number five, my last one. Man, can you fulfill an assignment you don't like? What'd you say? He says the most important one. Can you fulfill an assignment you don't like? I was telling y'all about marriage. My wife has this thing now. My wife, somebody said, be careful, My wife be wanting to cuddle, okay? Now, here's the thing. I don't have, right? Am I right? I don't have no problem cuddling. I really don't. My love language is physical touch. Cuddling is not a problem. But it's when she wants to cuddle at the most inconvenient times possible. Like getting ready to leave. Can we cuddle? It's like, wait, I'm leaving. Oh, I'm going to sit down and watch the game. I'll get everything ready. Oh, I can't wait to watch the game. Make sure I present in place. As soon as I sit down and watch the game, can we cuddle? It's like, wait, now? So something that I tend to love, now I'm like struggling. So now I got to cuddle like a pity cuddle, like, all right, like cuddling by faith, just, all right, just, I'm trying my best. Every night in my house, before I go to sleep, I always ask my wife, I say these words, can you scratch my back? Because my back be itching, boy, like itching bad. And I look at my wife's face every time. She has like a long pause. And I mean, everything in her does not want to touch my nasty back. It just, and she starts scratching. She's scratching, but I know she, and I'm like, come on, girl. Come on, right? Because you know, it's always that one spot. And she's scratching, and she's just like, you nasty, just ingrown, just, ugh. Because maturity is when you get to a place when you can do the thing you don't like because someone else needs it. Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and says, God, if there be another way, let this cup pass from me. This was the scripture that proved to me the Bible was real. When I was younger, that was the text that proved to me the Bible was real. Because if I was going to make Jesus up, I would not put my main character in a garden before he's getting ready to do the one thing he came to do, telling God he don't want to do it. I would have scratched that part out. I'd have been like, don't put that in there, making Jesus look weak. I need these people to believe this. No, the fact that they put that in lets me know, well, this is real. Jesus says, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Can you fulfill an assignment you don't like? All right, I only got a couple minutes. Can I borrow 3 minutes, Pastor Colin? Can I borrow 3 minutes, everybody? Give me 3 minutes, all right? Because somebody's asking this one question. Somebody's saying, Pastor, you said Jesus test. These things are cool, but come on, man. Where's the good stuff? I want to prophesy. I want to cast out demons. I want to do miracle signs and wonders. Now that's the real Jesus test. When are you going to get to the demons? And can I tell you what Jesus said about the thing? Can you go to Matthew? Can you guys go to Matthew? If you guys got in the back, can you go to Matthew chapter 7? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not drive out demons? Did we not perform all the many miracles? I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. How could God say, I never knew somebody who cast out demons, prophesied, and did miracles? Because God knows you didn't do that for me. You did that for you. You thought you did it in my name. You did that in your name. Because you wanted likes, and you wanted follows, and you wanted platforms, and you wanted to get a conference speaking engagement, and you wanted to increase your itinerary, and you wanted to be popular, and you wanted to be famous, so you cast out stuff and did miracles so that you could get shine. But I didn't know you. So before you come to me and tell me, no, the real, how come we don't do the real stuff? How come we ain't casting stuff out? There are going to be a lot of people who cast out stuff, did miracles, prophesy, who will not make it in. He said to master and teacher, he's called them, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. Can I tell you what made them evil? Y'all want to see what made them evil? Go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, put it behind me. Matthew 25, verse 42-45. Let's get that scripture, Matthew 25. Not everyone who says to me, Lord. No, Matthew 25. Let me read it. It says, for I was hungry. You gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Take that scripture down, please. I need you guys to stay with me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick in prison, and did not help you? He'll reply, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. You did all that prophesying, but did you help anybody? Did you ever get low? Did you ever wash any feet? Did you ever visit anybody in prison? Did you ever feed anybody who was hungry? Did you ever take care of anybody who was thirsty? Did you ever give of yourself, or did you only do the platform stuff? Did you only do the stuff that needs a microphone or gets you booked? When did you do the stuff that you don't read in a paper? When did you do the Jesus stuff? There are going to be people who are going to be shocked when they find out they didn't pass the Jesus test. The real Jesus test is not preaching, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a preacher. The real test is not being famous and being huge and all. I get it. I get it. I like some of that stuff too. It's in me too. The real test is, can you take nails? Can you take thorns? Can you be hidden? Can you get low? Can you not be recognized? Can you fulfill assignments you don't like? Can you do the things that don't get you on everybody's platform? Can you do the things that bring you low? Because in the kingdom, the only way up is down. In the kingdom, the only way up is down. Everybody stand up on your feet. Did you get a word tonight? I'm going to pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, that you're going to become more like Jesus every day. Father, I pray that everyone here, God, I pray that you would give them the scent of Jesus, give them the heart of Jesus, give them the hands of Jesus. Father, even as some of us tonight are going to sign up to be baptized because we want to be like Jesus, even as some of us sign up to go to Jamaica for a missions trip because there are people over there who need clothes and people over there who need food and people over there who need a visit from somebody who's on their feet, God, I pray we're just trying to be like Jesus. That, God, we're not going to just do it with our words, we're going to do it with our actions. And I pray that anyone under the sound of my voice who may be dealing with any of the things that I mentioned, Jesus, rise up in them. Give them the strength to endure. We promise to give your name all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Come on, God bless you. God bless you. Right outside those doors, if you're a young adult, you can sign up for Good Life Missions, Live Loud Missions Trip. If you want to be baptized, you can do that out there. Good Life Young Adults, we're on our way to go eat and fellowship together. So meet us there. I'm on my way there. I'm going there. We're going to have a great time in Jesus' name.